There are many ways to define our fragile existence. Many ways to give it meaning.
I love you. I love you, Nathan.
Peter lets go of his brother's hand, and Nathan falls.
But it is our memories that shape its purpose and give it context.
Hero, you're very sick.
Brain tumor. I'm dying.
A private assortment of images, fears, loves, regrets. And we alone choose the importance of each.
How do you feel, Hero?
Must rescue Watson. Beam me up, Scotty.
Building our own unique histories, one memory at a time.
What have you done?
Did you send a cello to my apartment?
Cello, no.
Hoping the ones we choose to remember don't betray or trap us.
There are no bad powers, Emma. You will learn to use your powers to do good things in the world.
Where'd you learn how to do that?
Medical school. I dropped out.
Are you gonna go back to school? Go be a doctor?
For it is the cruel irony of life that we are destined to hold the dark with the light, the good with the evil.
You betrayed me.
I'm still your brother.
I need you to start by retrieving some files from the apartment of a Mr. Noah Bennett.
What do you want?
We don't want anyone to get hurt. So we'll just take what we came for, and we will be on our way.
This is what separates us, what makes us human.
Gone.
So are your files.
And in the end, what we must fight to hold on to.
Where'd you get that?
I stole it from my dad.
He came all this way to go to a carnival.
Claire, so glad you could make it.
I think it's time. There's some soul searching.
You're welcome to stay a few days and do just that.
I'm gonna stay. Just for a couple days. I'm
not sure she's going to serve a purpose for you.
It's not her I'm after.
Chapter 12, Upon This Rock. Daytime. Claire's picking up rubbish in the carnival grounds. She looks up at a banner advertising the tattoo girl, exotic temptress, and next to it, the amazing replicating man. Claire smiles, then walks away. Eli's watching her from his tent doorway, and their eyes fix onto each other as she passes.
Don't worry about Eli, he's harmless.
Yeah, I've caught him staring at me, like, three times.
It's that you're new. Everybody's talking.
Talking's okay with me. Staring, not so much.
You have breakfast yet?
Yes, I had the blueberry pancakes, and they were amazing.
I'm taking some to Samuel now. He is in his trailer.
You know,
how about you take him to him? Score some points. Not that you need to, but he does love Mrs. Comey's pancakes.
Okay, sure.
Thank you, Claire.
No problem.
Samuel's in his trailer looking through a large cardboard box. He pulls a folder out, opens it, and sifts through the social services and Primatech papers in it. Then Claire knocks on the door.
He brought extra syrup.
How'd you know I had pancakes?
His face drops when he sees her, and he moves in front of the box.
I thought you were Lydia.
He covers it with a cloth.
So very nice of you.
Claire eyes it as he steps outside.
That box in there looks a lot like the one from the paper company my dad used to work for.
As you may have guessed, your father and I have shared more history than you know.
Well, you can always fill me in.
I'm not interested in the past, Claire. Not when the future holds such infinite possibilities.
The homeland you were talking about?
Yeah, and we're almost there. And I'd love nothing more than for you to stay and watch that come to fruition.
Well, like I said, I do have to get back to class on Monday.
Okay. Your loss. How do I look? I'm going to the city.
Then you look very, urban.
Good. Because I need to make a positive impression. I'm going to get someone. Someone essential for the plan coming together. Someone who can help us build a place where we can be free.
Freedom is what you do with what's been done to you.
Sounds deep.
Sartre. College.
I always thought freedom was just another word for nothing left to lose.
That too.
You'll see, Claire. We'll stop running and find a permanent place to live. An ordinary place. Then you might even want to stay.
Or go.
It's your choice.
He nods at her, then turns and walks away. Claire thinks for a moment, then goes in the other direction, past Eli, who watches her, then multiplies, and stands in front of Samuel.
So she's free to go?
Not in my lifetime. You make sure of that.
Heroes, created by Tim Kring. A narrow, busy market street in Tokyo, Japan. Hero appears in the middle of it and runs over to a food stall where a man's cooking noodles.
Good citizen, I'm a humble knight from the Starship Enterprise. I seek my first officer, Sancho Panza.
Junior.
The man asks miso, soy or salt.
I don't require sustenance. I require transport to Sancho Panza. He is my sidekick.
The man says, no sidekick, noodles. Miso, soy or salt. Then they see a woman having her handbag stolen.
A Jedi's work is never done.
Hero grabs a chopping blade and runs over.
Unhand the princess or feel the sting of my lightsaber.
The thief pays no attention, so Hero cuts the bag free.
There can be only one.
The thief runs off, and Hero hands the woman her bag.
Your handbag, my Dulcinea.
Then he turns to the crowd.
Citizens of Caprica, you are saved. The Cylon has been defeated.
Two police officers run up and tell him to drop the knife.
Lancelot, C-3PO, at last you can direct me to my faithful sidekick.
They cuff him and lead him away while Hero protests.
Wait, I must find my sidekick. My sidekick. I need transport to my sidekick.
Samuel's walking across the hills with the carnival in the background and stops in front of a large boulder. In black and white, he's a child again, trying out his powers in front of the same rock.
Samuel, what the hell are you doing?
Give it up, little brother.
It almost moved this time. Let's see.
Samuel summons his power and makes some earth tremble.
Ow! Far out. Now come on. I've got a show to do.
Just you wait. I'm gonna move bigger rocks than that. People are gonna come from all over the world to see me.
You mean Vanessa's gonna come see you?
Huh? Oh, Vanessa girl. Come and see my big dart-moving show.
Oh, shut up.
I can't believe you're still carrying a torch for that girl. Don't you know we're never going back there?
Tell you what. If you can get people to buy a ticket to see a kid not move her up, I'll invite her myself.
Get her, Jack. Just you wait.
Yeah.
Joseph clips him around the ear and sends him back to the carnival, grabbing the radio on top of the boulder.
Just you wait, brother. Just you wait.
Back at the carnival, Claire's helping herself to food, along with some others. She turns round and sees Eli eating at a table, watching her, but when their eyes meet, he stands up and walks away. Claire sits behind Lydia and another girl.
Are you serious, Mom? Come on! He's nice.
He just got here. I don't even know him from Adam. I certainly don't know his family.
Since when do you care?
The answer is no.
The daughter storms off and Claire laughs.
Something funny?
Sorry, no. No. I've been looking for something normal in this place since this morning, and I finally found it when I was listening to you and your daughter argue. You sound like my mom and me. We had some serious knockdown dragouts. Wonder if we had a place like this, if things would have been easier.
How so?
Lose a finger, it grows back. Nobody looks twice.
Oh, yeah, it's paradise here.
You don't sound convinced.
I didn't mean anything by it.
You know things, right? I mean, you could see things. Your tattoos.
Sometimes.
Well, I was just wondering if you knew why Samuel wanted me here.
Well, lately he's wanted a lot of people here. Half of them want to date my daughter.
Why is he bringing so many people in?
It's become an obsession of his. He spent all morning in his trailer.
Yeah, with my dad's files.
They both look over towards the trailer. Later, Claire's walking through the carnival and goes up to Samuel's door. She reaches for the handle, looks around and lets herself in, but Eli's there.
Well, well, that isn't Nancy Drew. Is there something I can help you with, Nance?
I was just looking for Samuel.
He's not around.
Now he's behind her.
Nice trick.
I like to think so.
She looks round at a third Eli.
Aren't you on beautification duty? Why don't you run along and beautify?
Ando hurries into a police station and asks an officer, where did you find him?
He was in the Ikebukuro district. How long did you say he's been missing?
About 6 weeks.
6 weeks? It's good we found his business card. If not, we wouldn't have known to call you.
Why? Can't he speak?
Oh, he speaks. We just don't know what he's saying. He thinks he's some kind of hero.
Heroes shown in. Sancho Panza, it is you. Ando says, Hero, it's me, it's Ando.
Sancho, the swamp dragons have surrounded the castle Arkham, where Dr. Watson is being held. And it's all because of me.
Ando says, Hero, you're not making any sense.
Hailing frequencies are open. Sancho, why don't you respond? I have betrayed the rebellion. Sancho Panza, you're our only hope.
Ando says, It's okay, Hero, I'm going to help you. Then asks the officer to uncuff him. Another officer says, Sir, if you need help, the city has services for the mentally ill. But Ando tells him he's not crazy. He has a brain tumor, and I think it's getting worse. At the hospital, a porter puts a pile of post on Emma's desk. She smiles her thanks and hurriedly looks through it until she finds one letter from the college. She holds it in her hands for a moment, then opens it and reads it. Emma's smile fades as she reads, We regret to inform you that at this point we are unable. However, we encourage you to apply again next year. Emma gets back home, still holding the letter in her hands. She hangs her bag up, walks into her apartment, and puts it angrily down on a table in the kitchen. She looks at the cello leaning against the wall and picks it up to play. A light flashes on the wall, and Emma goes to the door. She looks through the spy hole, sees Samuel, and opens the door with the security chain still on.
Miss Coolidge?
Yes?
My name is Samuel. I've come a long way to see you.
I'm sorry?
I'm like you.
Not deaf?
No, but I have a gift, like you. Emma, please, let me explain. You can read lips.
Do you read hands?
No, Emma, wait. I'm the one who sent you the cello.
He shows her the compass tattoo on his forearm, and she looks back towards the cello, which has the same design engraved into it. Ando says, Yes, I know, I heard you the first time.
Sancho, is your communicator not functioning?
Hero writes a note which Ando reads, Swamp Dragon, Castle Arkham, then asks, So what?
Transmission jammed at the source, Captain.
Kimiko comes in.
I have the number of the top neurosurgeon in Tokyo.
But Ando tells her to wait.
Wait? My brother needs a doctor. He's all the family I have left. Please let me help him.
Ando says, I think he's trying to tell us something. He keeps saying we have to go to Castle Arkham and rescue Dr. Watson. That's from Sherlock Holmes. These are clues. He wants us to figure something out.
Elementary.
See, Ando says, it's like someone took a shabu spoon and stirred up his fanboy brain. But somehow he's making sense.
We must prepare for our quest in the danger room.
Danger room?
That's where the X-Men train, Ando tells her. Part of X-Mansion. I can't believe I know that. That's it. He heads for the door. Kimiko asks where he's going, and he says the danger room is also where Hiro keeps his comic books. I think he wants us to use them to figure this out. Then he leaves.
Good you have done, princess. Defeat the dark side, we will.
At her apartment, Emma signs to Samuel, why did you send me the cello?
I'm interested in people like us. I know that you can see things that other people hear, and that you feel them all so much more.
How do you know about my gift? How do you know about me?
I know many people with gifts, and one of them can see from far away, and she helped me find you. Connected, Emma.
Emma nods and lets him in.
Thanks. I'm sorry I didn't tell you that was for me. Giving it away was not that easy.
Why?
It was meant for someone else. Someone special in my life. She and I were close, and then one day I lost her. May I?
Samuel goes over to the cello. He gently stands it up, then turns it round so the front is facing him.
It's found its proper home. I can see that now.
Emma signs, last time I played it, it cracked my wall.
No, it didn't do that. You did. It was your own fear. That's why I'm here. You have to let go of that fear. Release your true ability.
True ability? She asks.
I need your help. I've tried in my usual way to find this man, but I've been unsuccessful. He's overwhelmed by his gift like you've been, but so much more lost. He thought he was losing his mind when the moss and the flowers started growing in his footsteps. He lost touch with this world and fell into the cracks. I'm told he lives in Central Park.
I don't understand. How can I help?
It's nighttime at the carnival. Claire carries a large box full of stuffed toys over to one of the stalls and hands it to the man running it. As he takes it, she sees Eli standing behind him, watching her. Claire frowns and walks away, but Eli walks parallel with her, staring darkly at her. She speeds up and he jogs after her. Then she finds herself face to face with him. When she turns around, he's there as well, and behind her, blocking off all her routes but one. Claire runs and all three Elis chase after her as she goes into the House of Mirrors, but they stop at the entrance.
Cover the exits.
One goes off while the other stays by the door and the Prime Eli enters. Claire, standing inside waiting, reflected many times. He looks around at them.
Now you know what it feels like.
Yeah, nice trick.
He goes to punch her, but chooses the wrong one and smashes a mirror. Claire picks up a nearby stool and whacks him with it, knocking him to the floor unconscious. The other Elis vanish into thin air as she runs outside and goes straight into Samuel's trailer. She looks through the files he took from Noah, then finds some color photographs of the hills. She looks at a map laid out on the table, then finds a framed photograph of Samuel and his brother in the hills when they were young men. Suddenly, Claire spreads her arms out. She spins round, goes to the door, and throws herself out of it. Eric, who's controlling her, brings her to her feet and slams her against the trailer.
What do you think you're doing, Barbie?
Her arms are pinned by her head.
Let me go!
Not until you tell me why you were in Samuel's trailer.
Listen to me, okay?
You're a spy, aren't you? Working for your father?
No! I came here on my own. I believed what Samuel was saying was real, but he's collecting people with abilities.
Yeah. Why shouldn't he? We're a family. You wouldn't understand that, would you, Barbie? Huh? No. You only see the worst in people.
He makes her pick up a brush and hold the point to her neck.
Makes me want to pin you to that trailer, so Samuel can find you when he gets back.
Samuel is using my dad's old files to track people down and bring them in. He's got a map of that valley out there, and he is planning something.
Yeah. And whatever it is, you're gonna ruin it for everyone. I'm not gonna let you. I'm not gonna let you ruin it for me.
Anzo and Hiro are in the danger room. Ando says, this is the quest. We must rescue Dr. Watson from the Castle Arkham in the land of the Swamp Dragons. Why Swamp Dragons?
Sancho, a good sidekick must understand his master.
Ando says, I'm not your sidekick.
Everyone knows Sancho Panza is the sidekick of the great Don Quixote. The Castle Arkham is the great Spanish land where Kurt Connors swims with the Swamp Dragons.
Ando shakes his head and says, all I heard was Kurt Connors. Kurt Connors, the lizard. Arch-enemy of Spider-Man, and he lived in Florida. Florida was the old Spanish land, where there are many alligators, swamp dragons.
Elementary.
And Arkham is the asylum in the Batman comics. You want to go to a place called Arkham in Florida? Hiro nods, so Ando sits at his computer and says, no Arkham Hospital in Florida, but there is one on Arkham Road. It's called Riverdale Psychiatric Hospital. Riverdale? We are going to Florida. Hiro stands up and bows.
You have given this knight the chance to right the wrongs of his life. For that, I'm eternally grateful.
Ando stands and says, I am at your service. I guess I am the sidekick.
The bravest one I know.
In a park at night.
Your gift is more than seeing sound as color. Putting cracks in a wall.
True ability. Well, what is it?
Your emotions can become one with the music. You can bring people to you, like a siren song.
Siren?
Yeah, just play. And you'll see.
He takes out the paper.
Concentrate on him. Draw him to you. Now's your chance. Make your prayers into song.
As Emma starts to play, bright but gentle light emanates from the strings in blues and greens and purples. Samuel smiles and looks around. Emma's fingers walk gently over the neck as the light flares and rises lazily like smoke. A black man, the man from Samuel's file, walks up out of the darkness towards them, his eyes fearful, his head lowered warily. Samuel stands up as he approaches. Emma smiles and carries on playing, and the man leans against a tree to watch.
It's all right.
Let the music fill you up.
He puts both hands on the white trunk, and they watch in amazement as the old autumnal leaves in the branches above begin to turn green and unfold. Emma looks back at the man with affection, and he smiles gently at her. Later, they're in the hospital where a nurse is tending to the man who looks cleaner, shaved, and healthier now. Emma speaks to a doctor, then goes to see Samuel and signs to tell him.
The doctor says his infection should be gone in a few days.
Is he all right? I can't thank you enough for getting them in.
It's easy when you're a file clerk.
If you ever want to help more of us, there's a place I'd like you to visit. We could use a doctor. And a siren.
He takes the compass out of his pocket and puts it in her hand, the pointer spinning continuously.
This will help get you there.
She looks down at it, confused, and Samuel signs, "Find your direction." They shake hands.
Thank you.
She leaves, and the man from the park watches her go.
She's different, like me.
Not different. Special.
I always thought I was alone in the world. I guess I'm just a little scared.
So many of us are, friend. So many. But not for long. Let's go home.
Samuel sees the TV.
Sources confirm the remains found in the small plane crash are that of New York Senator Nathan Petrelli. The NTSB is promising a complete and thorough investigation into the crash. At this time, investigators are reporting that the senator was the pilot and sole passenger of the plane.
You're getting weak. Otherwise, you would have forced my mouth shut.
Don't tempt me, Barbie.
I'm telling you. Samuel's up to something. He's lying to all of you.
No. He's a good man.
Why are you so sure?
Because I'm good now. This place is good for me. I haven't done anything wrong since I got here. Joseph set me straight. He showed me what was good and true about my ability.
Joseph. Is that who's in that picture there next to Samuel?
Yeah.
Samuel's brother.
He didn't want to let me in at first. Samuel convinced him.
Lydia said that Samuel's obsessed with making the family bigger. Why do you think that Samuel's bringing in all these people? Huh?
Shut up! This is my home now, Barbie.
Listen to me. I don't want to destroy this place. But if Samuel's bringing people in for a reason, don't you think that's gonna put everyone in danger? You know me. Do you seriously think I want to destroy your home?
Talk to Lydia.
Eric lets her go.
She knows.
Thank you.
Claire walks away and strides over to Lydia's tent, leaving Eric looking exhausted.
Lydia?
Claire? What are you doing here?
I just went into Samuel's trailer. He has a map of the valley. What is he planning? Lydia, you wanted me to go in there for a reason. Why? You know something and you're not telling me what it is.
He wasn't always in charge. Joseph, he was our real father. He made this place a home. I miss him. We all miss him.
What happened to him?
Claire looks closely into Lydia's eyes.
He killed him, didn't he?
He's lost his way, Claire. I am scared for all of us.
Yeah, I woke up this morning and I wasn't sure about this place. But this place is special. For you and for your daughter. Even Doyle. The only thing wrong with it is Samuel.
You have to help us. Please. You have to find someone that can stop him.
I will.
When Claire leaves, Eli grabs her and shoves her to another Eli.
No buried treasure for you, Nancy Drew.
Samuel strides back to the trailer.
What were you thinking?
You told me to watch her.
She's not a prisoner. If she wants to go, she can go.
Not a prisoner. Sure feels that way with Copy Boy over here. Don't you ever get sick of him?
Stay or go, Claire. It's still your choice.
I'll go. After you tell me what happened to Joseph.
Eli, give us a minute.
She smiles at Eli, who glares at her before walking off.
Did Lydia tell you?
No, I asked her. She wouldn't. It's true, isn't it? You killed him.
I lost control.
Like, that is an excuse?
He told the government about us. You remember them, don't you? They lured him in. Very same people that have been chasing us for years. Emil Danko, same one who worked alongside your father, the man who imprisoned you, Claire. How do you think your father got the compass?
This is not about my father, okay? This is about what you did.
Samuel throws down the photo of him and Joseph and steps back, his hand to his mouth in shock.
That was awful. Joseph put us all in danger. After years of running free, I wasn't about to let him get away with that. I wasn't about to let him take that away from us.
So murder was the answer?
You, of all people, should understand how far a father will go to protect his family. Hasn't your father lied, cheated, even killed to protect you?
What's going on out in that valley?
The man that Samuel and Emma found in the park is standing by the stone in the hills, letting the earth run through his hand as Claire and Samuel approach.
Every artist needs his canvas, Claire. Ian. Well, Ian is Picasso.
I need water.
That can be arranged.
Samuel holds out his hands and concentrates on the ground. A narrow crack appears and water begins to seep out of it. Once it's flowing, he lowers his hands again. Ian and Claire both smile as they watch. Ian kneels on the ground and digs his fingers into the soil. He tilts his head in concentration, and fresh green grass begins to grow from around his hands, spreading outwards over the dry, barren earth. It moves onwards, towards and around the rock where flowers now grow. Samuel and Claire watch with amazed smiles as the landscape immediately around them is transformed. The grass stretches over the top of the hill, where small shrubs and plants now grow as well. Ian stops and looks at his work, still crouching on the ground.
It's beautiful.
It's you. It's who you are.
It is beautiful.
The new green pasture stretches to the hills beyond.
What is this place?
Our new home. My brother would have loved it. He never believed it was possible. He certainly never believed I could make it real. This is why I need a bigger family, to build the future. This could be your home too, Claire.
I have a home. And I'd like to go back to it.
Of course. But just remember, you're free, Claire. Whatever happens in your world back home, you can always come back to this one. Whenever you want.
I know.
Claire smiles and walks away from Samuel, away from the fresh green land. She takes out her mobile as it vibrates, but looks back and watches the two men set off across the grass together, then checks her voicemails.
Claire, we need to talk. Claire Bear. Call me.
Claire, hey, it's Peter. You need to call me. Something happened. We have a lot to talk about.
An American flag is draped over a coffin in a cemetery. Peter, wearing a black suit and white shirt, walks slowly towards it. He stands beside Angela, who's sitting with other mourners, all dressed in black, and they talk for a moment. Noah is amongst them and walks to the front of the crowd, looking sadly at the coffin. A yellow cab pulls up in the road behind them. Unaware of it, Noah looks anxiously round at the gathered people as the cab door opens and Claire gets out, also dressed in black. He turns and sees her walking across the grass towards the gathering, a few mourners following behind her. Honorary guards are standing at the back of the group. Peter is by the coffin. Claire approaches Noah and stands beside him.
I'm glad you're safe.
From what? Where I came from or this lie?
I know you took the compass.
And I'm not giving it back.
She walks away from Noah and goes to stand at the front near to Angela, who looks at her, but Claire stops short and turns away impassively.
My brother Nathan taught me a lot. Taught me how to ride a skateboard when I was a kid. How to hook a marlin. Taught me how to catch a baseball. Those are all things usually a father will teach a son, but Dad wasn't around, so was Nathan. And I wish to hell it would have been my father, because Nathan didn't make it easy. He would throw it high, or he'd throw it wide, and I would yell at him. I'd tell him to throw it right at me, but he'd say to me, "That's not how it's gonna come at you in a game, Pete." I used to think he was just being a big brother and he was picking on me. Now I understand. He just wanted me to be ready for anything.
Claire and Peter look at each other across the coffin, then he lays a hand on it.
I'm ready, brother. For whatever comes.
He leans down and kisses the flag that's draped over it.
Detail!
The uniformed guards walk forward and stand around the coffin.
Detail! Ho! Flag!
Men on either side lift the edges of the flag, and as a unit, they fold it down into a neat triangle. The commanding officer carries it over to Angela.
Ma'am, this flag is presented on behalf of a grateful nation for the honorable and faithful service rendered by your loved one.
Thank you.
He salutes her, then turns away and goes back to stand at the end of the coffin.
Hard! Ho! Eddie! Aim! Fire! Aim! Fire! Aim! Fire!
Peter looks up as four jets fly over. The leading one peels away and soars upwards into the pale blue sky. Peter smiles faintly to himself. To be continued.